All right. So my name is Amanda Martinez, and I'm at Texas State University, and I'm kind of guest hosting here for the Dragonfly, this podcast here at NATA. And I have my guest with me today is Danny Berenger, who I've actually have some history with. So this should be interesting, kind of like a catch up and where things are at and how life's going. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Danny, where you're at?
Yeah, so I currently live in Bryan, Bryan, Texas. I work at a hospital called the Physician Center Hospital. It's a small surgical hospital just on the border of Bryan College Station. I'm the director of sports medicine there, so I provide outreach services for smaller area high schools that maybe can't necessarily afford full-time on-site athletic trainer but still desire the services. And so I coordinate coverage.
How many schools do you outreach to?
Right now we have four high schools, and we also cover A&M Rec Sports, all of their home events.
Okay, it's got to be interesting,
yeah,
some different stuff.
Absolutely. There's a good variety of exposure to different sports, and a lot of the contracted athletic trainers that we use are either fresh out of undergrad or fresh out of master's, and so they get some great exposure to sports that maybe they didn't have the chance to work with in college.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so, I mean, shoot, the last time I saw you, we both went to undergrad at UT in Austin.
Right.
How many years were you behind me? Just one?
Just one. I think you were 09, right?
Right. Yes.
So I was 09.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you do after you graduated? Like, catch me up.
Okay. So I moved to
Wisconsin. What brought you to where you are right now?
Moved to Wisconsin looking for a job up there. I just wanted to see if I could find something in the cold weather to see if there were any different challenges with that.
Cold weather. Oh, that's not where, that's not where I belong personally. Like when we travel up there, hey, that's fantastic, but I'm not a cold weather person.
It was an experience and I'm glad I did it. But I missed Texas after 2 years and came back, found
what
a job.
What kind of job did you find up there? What did you?
I actually worked at Starbucks for a couple years. I never found an athletic training job. I interviewed for a few, but they didn't pay very well or just weren't in the right location for me.
Sure.
So moved back to Tyler, started a GA job at Tyler Junior College with Eddie McGuire, who was my high school athletic trainer. And then I went to Tyler Junior College before I went to the University of Texas.
That's right. Isn't that crazy how that comes full circle, right?
Like those
people,
he hired me three times. Yeah, so.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's funny.
So then after TJC, I moved down to Bryan to start as a medical assistant at a clinic that was inside the Physician Center Hospital, sports medicine clinic.
Okay.
Worked as a contractor under my boss at the time.
Okay.
He left. The job opened up, and I seized it.
Fantastic. Yeah. So you were there. How long were you there before you got promoted?
2 years.
2 years. Nice job. Yeah. Nice work in 2 years.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So I'll catch you up with what I've been doing.
Yeah.
So I, undergrad, UT, graduated, went down to Texas State, actually, to do grad school. Interestingly, I was there just to be a TA and somehow found myself doing some athletic stuff in the very end, which was fantastic. Went to Tech for 4 years and then, kind of was like, I'm kind of ready to go home, like more central.
Yeah.
Again, it does get cold up there and there was some snow.
Winter,
and they have like legitimate, like not like Wisconsin legitimate snow. Like it's not the same thing
inches.
At all. But it's more than like the like sleet that is Austin, you know, like everything that would shut down Austin, like we have like an inch of sleet. Oh my God, we're not driving. I swear to you, my first year out there, it legitimately snowed again. Say legitimately, it snowed like maybe like 4 inches. And I was
that's legitimate.
And so I was like, I'm not going to go to work today. They're totally going to cancel everything. I get to stay
home. Laughed at, didn't you?
And like, I'm looking at the news. I'm looking at my emails. Yeah. I'm like checking the website. We're going to school today.
Yep.
So I got to drive in it and I was like, after 4 years of that, I'm ready to go home.
Snow's not the bad part to drive in. It's when it freezes or when it gets warm enough and it melts and then it gets cold at night and freezes and turns into ice. That's when you're trouble.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. Yeah. Not at all. So as you do, are you still going out and doing the contracting work at all?
I am.
Or are you
So yeah, that's kind of what I want to talk about is kind of the struggles. And it's great that I got to follow Larry and Robert
because
exactly what they're talking about.
Did you know about the Atlas stuff?
I went to their talk yesterday.
Okay.
Amazing data, amazing information. Before then, I had heard the word, but I didn't know what it entailed
and
what to do.
I never knew anything.
So it's on my to-do list when I get back to work on Monday
to fill it out.
But a lot of the struggles, and I can see why it's taking so long and why it's hard for them to get all the information, because with these little schools, I mean, it's going to take a while to get the information from the coaches about how many student athletes they have. I mean, I know the schools, but I don't know their numbers, you know. Nobody pays attention to that. So, but the difficulty lies.
Schools not have just, which I get that, because we're starting this new concussion baseline protocols, and literally our concussion, you know, specialist coordinator, she was like, hey, I need rosters so that we know what we're doing. I'm like, it's so much easier said than done sometimes. Like, yep. I was like, I can get a hold of mine. Yep. Football, ever-changing. Also, yep. We're in the middle of June.
Right.
We can still have 8 new people on every team if we want to, like a roster. Like, it's
trying to be proactive in the spring. I was asking the coaches for rosters because this is they didn't tell me to say this, but I love Dragonfly Max. I just started using it, and so I was trying to put in all the rosters for the schools.
Interesting.
And so I asked the coaches for the rosters
so
I could start putting them in and be ready for the fall.
Right, be ahead of time. They kind of laughed at me. They're
like, they didn't laugh at me. They were nice. They're like, here's our athletic roster, like athletic period class. We don't know who's playing what sport because everybody plays every sport for the most part in these 3A, 2A schools.
And when you're filling out this stuff, you're part of it is who's in the different sports and who's playing
you have
what
the option of putting that on there in the app. I left it blank for the most part just so it wouldn't be confusing. Yeah. And you can assign them to multiple sports, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like you yourself going out there to these different
There's a lot of communication and relationships are the biggest need for a person who's going to work in a clinical outreach setting. You've got to be able to develop relationships, establish relationships.
How do you, so for those people who maybe struggle or those like introverts or, you know, are new to this profession or maybe like have never really developed those, what do you think are keys to number one, start a relationship and then number two, just develop one, right?
Confidence is the first step and it's the hardest step. If you don't believe in yourself, you can't sell yourself if you don't believe in what you're selling. So
very true.
You've got to be able to know that what you're offering is the best that is available to whoever you're trying to sell to. Okay. And you've got to be able to present it in that option and say, you know, maybe we don't have the best price or maybe we don't have the most athletic trainers, but you're not going to be sorry that you did sign with us because of A, B, and C. And
so also kind of having some facts to back you up.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that might
understanding,
help you.
Understanding competition, if there is any, understanding any hurdles that you may have regarding budgetary issues or any pushback if there's a coach who's been there forever who tapes everybody and they don't need an athletic trainer. Any weird scenarios like that.
So
you
glad
know,
nobody
like,
can see my face right now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's always hurdles. There's always misunderstandings and just misinformation about our profession.
I'm in a very, you know, cookie cutter setting, kind of never really left it. So as you do this outreach stuff, what are these misconceptions people have? Like either about us as a profession,
the
or
stereotypical
do they even know
ones
what we do?
That like, hey, can you develop a weightlifting program for me? I need to lose weight. Mm-hmm. That
just
kind of
trainer.
Thing.
Yeah, we're not a personal trainer.
And even just, I mean, I'll go out to these schools, especially in baseball, where you're just sitting around in a dugout for 2 hours talking with the athletes. You know, they get curious and they want to know, hey, what is it you actually do? Like, what do you do during the day when you're not here?
I'm not just sitting here hanging out with you in the dugout, right? I have a job. I have other things that I do.
Yeah. So education is another big part of outreach. You've got to be able to, it goes along with selling yourself. You've got to be able to let them know what you're doing for them and teaching them.
So not just
services.
Educating like the administrators even, or let alone the coaches, who you would think would be the only people you really have to say, this is what I do. But
the
shoot,
kids,
even the
their
athletes
parents,
and the parents for sure. Cause if the kids don't know, there's no way their parents have any idea.
And it's amazing the reception you get. When you can show more than you can tell, because a lot of times words are words and they'll just think you're blowing smoke. But when that first injury happens and you respond and you fix it and everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Where has this been the entire time?
Right.
That's when it clicks and that's when they'll start asking questions that you can answer and provide evidence for and show your worth, like they were saying.
Gotcha. So the people that you hire to do this stuff, are they... Does it help to have like a certain personality? So yes, confidence, but does it, who would fit this like outreach best?
So, I mean, these schools they're going out to, even if it's a home game, these schools are usually about an hour away, out in the middle of nowhere. usually an ambulance, but I mean, most of the time other services are pretty limited. And even an ambulance ride to the nearest hospital is going to be about an hour. So if there is an emergency, you got to make sure you know your stuff.
Right.
So emergency preparedness and confidence and cool under pressure are huge.
So
factors.
A lot of your people pretty seasoned and experienced, like they have like 5 years.
Ironically,
under their belt.
No, most of them, like I said, are straight out of college. But I make sure that if they come in and their hands are shaking just to do an interview, then it's like,
probably not for them.
Yeah, let's give you a little bit of experience somewhere where you've got some more supervision.
Okay. And you have that capability to kind of send them to places maybe where there's more supervision, or you're just
not
like,
really. No, I just kind of tell them, direct them. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe some experience, and then come back at me, and I'd love to have you back.
Right.
Okay.
And so that's another challenge with my setting is I'll hire these people as independent contractors, but then I also have to understand they need a day job because they are only PRN.
Right. So, and as PRN, how much work are they actually getting? Or is it 3 days a week? Is it only Friday Night Lights?
It's mostly in the fall because we also cover Bryan ISD middle schools. So their football games are Monday, Tuesday. So in the fall, most of them will get
on a Monday now. Goodness, yeah. We've been playing football every
seventh
day.
Seventh grade is Monday, and eighth grade was Tuesday. Yeah.
Wow.
So they'll get 3 to 4 days because A&M will have rec stuff on the weekends, maybe even five. Sometimes they'll have Sunday tournaments too. So the falls are super busy, and that's when I need the most help. But then in the spring, it kind of backs off, and they may get one game a week, maybe. So
what kind of jobs do your
So we've developed a great relationship with some of the sports medicine clinics in the area where we'll place them as medical assistants, kind of how I started out.
Oh, okay.
And so they'll be MAs for the orthopedic physicians or the surgeons where they work to schedule surgeries and take staples out after surgery and take patient history.
Right. So kind of more exposure to some of the back end stuff setting. And then they can help educate, like, this is what you can expect.
And so that's where I learned I learned a lot as a GA, obviously, but when I came in and started as the MA for Dr. Gill, I mean, you're looking at x-rays 30 times a day, and these doctors are great because they'll sit there and teach you about what you're looking at and what they see and what's supposed to be normal and how this isn't normal.
Right.
MRIs, all of the above, and it's just
well, it's great that they're taking that time because it's one thing. Because they've had team docs where they're like,
Oh yeah,
that's it. Well, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't know how to read this question.
Yeah,
and kind of the team doc I'm with now, he's great. He's like, you know, we'll get the CDs in advance, and I'm like, hey, can I swing by the office, or hey, will you bring it by when you come on our, you know, Tuesday clinic? And he'll just pause and we'll look through stuff, and I'm like, so is that it? And he's like, yes, actually, nice job. Like, yes, 5 points for me. Other times I'm like, is that it? And he's like, maybe not. And I was like, okay, fine. Well, I'm getting better.
Right.
But that's awesome that you've got docs that are willing to help them.
Yeah. So A&M, as much as they used to be a rival for us.
I know, right?
They have
every time we roll our eyes or don't wear maroon,
I
wear maroon.
Yeah. They have an incredible fellowship program for doctorate students, and their fellows rotate through the sports medicine clinic.
Okay.
And the residents will come through also for, a 4-week rotation or something like that. But they're learning, and it was amazing to see how much they knew about orthopedics compared to how much we knew. And there were some times where I would teach them about some of the orthopedic stuff.
I was going to say, did anything go back and forth? Do you feel like maybe did they know about athletic training to begin with? Again, maybe another way to kind of help them know us and our profession?
That's a good point. Yeah. I felt like they had a good understanding of athletic training. They didn't seem to question, you know, who I was or what I did. But they definitely were impressed by how much knowledge I knew with regards to orthopedics. I mean, when you go through med school, you have such a broad range of information that you learn that I'm sure a lot of the orthopedic stuff goes by the wayside when you're worried about more emergent situations. So a lot of they were relearning orthopedic stuff. And so it was fun to kind of teach them.
Okay. You might have a little bit of an edge there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long, so you have these, you know, athletic traders, PRN, how long do you keep them before they, find another job? Or maybe these schools that they're at are like, hey, wait a minute, I really like you. Maybe we can create a position?
So
that
that's
happen?
The challenge I'm at now. When I was at Tyler working as a GA, I was working through Azalea Orthopedics, which is a private orthopedic clinic up there. And they have done so well over the past, I don't know how many years, that they've gotten high schools to kind of like Larry and Rob were talking about, where they'll they'll loan them out for 3 years and say, hey, we'll pay X percent of their salary for 3 years. And then in those 3 years, you find it in your budget to provide a salary for them thereafter. And the schools love it. I don't, they've got at least 5 to 10 high schools out there that have taken on full-time athletic trainers. So they'll provide them as GAs. And so the salary isn't quite as high as it should be.
Right.
Obviously, we're still getting over that hurdle.
We can have a whole side tangent on that and our value and our worth. Again, like we were talking about, like, let me quantitate, like put into numbers exactly what I'm worth in rehabs and
But ultimately, these high schools are still getting the athletic trainer at their school that they need to supervise the events. So, you know, the end goal is there. And it still develops that relationship with the school from a business standpoint, that you're still going to get the referrals and, you know, develop those relationships with the coaches and the parents and the athletes that say, hey, we're here for you when you need us. Hopefully you don't, but, you know where to find us, kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
So that's my ultimate goal with my program. It's kind of taking a step back. When my boss left, there's some politics there, but
sure,
happens
everywhere.
Yeah, the schools tried to keep our relationships with them and establish that, and so it's been kind of a rebuilding process when I took over, and so my ultimate goal is to definitely establish those relationships.
Did you have to start? So you had to start from scratch, not necessarily
not completely from scratch. I managed to maintain, I think, 3 schools and A&M Rec Sports. So I had 3 high schools and A&M Rec Sports.
So now you're trying to go, are you trying to go back to some of these schools that you used to have, or?
I've maintained relationships with them. Mm-hmm. Those coaches know me. We have great personal relationships. It's been a strictly business, financial, decision for them. And I can't blame them. We have great personal relationships. They still know that.
Love you as people, but the business just isn't working.
Exactly. And that's another part of someone who's looking to get into this field. You've got to let pride take a back seat if you're going to get hurt and upset every time someone tells you no or someone tries to leave, then you've got to step up and defend yourself, but then also understand that you're not going to win every game. You're not going to win every battle. So you've got to find ways to either make up for that loss or try to win them back, you know.
Huh. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Like, you can't take it personal, but then you can't take it personal, but you still have to maintain this relationship too on the flip side of it, which is arguably pretty hard for some of us, I would say.
It can be, but it's also fun. And I think that's just because I'm a people person and I love talking to people and maintaining relationships because everyone's so different and everyone's got their own backstory. And once you can appreciate where someone's come from, then, you know, that just makes their story all the better. So if you can maintain that relationship with them, then down the line, whatever happens, you know, they know that you're there for them. Yeah. So
what are your, maybe your, we kind of vaguely talked about it and then I think we went over on this tangent over here, but so to maintain a relationship, what do you think you have to do that? What makes you maintain a relationship best?
Communication.
Just always pick up the phone,
pick up
just
phone,
email.
Send an email, send a text. I've got all these coaches, phone numbers, emails. We still provide physicals for a lot of the schools that left.
Okay.
So we'll still go out with the A&M sports docs and provide physicals for their kids at their site so they don't all have to drive to Palestine or
right, because you guys, like you say, you're kind of all the way out there.
Yep. Yeah, so it's just making sure that they still know you care one way or another, finding a way to make your presence known.
Gotcha. So how many athletic trainers do you have under you right now?
I have 9 contracted athletic trainers.
9.
And that's kind of what I was getting to also was, it's while we have that relationship with the sports medicine clinic, it's not always easy. They don't have a plethora of open jobs just sitting there for me. You know, they've got a finite amount of doctors with a finite amount of medical assistants that they need.
So to expand would be...
I can't guarantee a full-time position for a contract athletic trainer. That's a caveat with what I'm offering these guys.
How do you convince these people to sign on? You know what I mean?
I got to hope they have a full-time job in mind.
Okay.
If not, then I can ask around and see if I can help them out. But ultimately, it's a little limiting. Yeah.
Wow.
That's one of the hurdles.
Yeah, just a small one.
But I've been so blessed with the best boss ever that she is so great. She's like, whatever you need, just let me know and we will do our best to help you out. So,
okay.
I mean, she's been excellent with, you know, offering to get me an assistant like full time. And I'm like, well, as ideal as that would be just to guarantee a spot for someone.
Right.
The workload isn't necessarily there
it's
yet.
It's going to be right.
So it that's what I always tell people. It's one of those catch 22s in that I want to get more schools, but in order to get more schools, I got to have more athletic trainers. But in order to justify more athletic trainers so that I don't have 20 athletic trainers sitting around with nothing to do,
right.
I need more schools. So
what are you trying? What are you trying to get first? Wow. Yeah. Like, so which way do you go?
It's so usually in the spring, I start getting feelers out to schools.
Okay.
And I'm like, hey, we're interested in expanding our program. Do you have any interest in having athletic trainer services or changing or anything like that?
Uh-huh.
If I get any feedback, then it's like, go, go, go. I've got to find a contract athletic trainer. Yeah. Someone come from anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just post somewhere or do you just kind of
so I'll use the TSATA website.
Okay. Makes sense.
I am trying to establish a relationship with Lori Greenwood at A&M. They have a master's program there. And every once in a while, they'll have a licensed athletic trainer come in, which is excellent because we don't require them to be certified, just licensed.
Just licensed, okay.
So that's like heaven for me if they can.
Right.
Even though they'll usually be placed on Friday nights at high schools, so that's fine because it's usually the A&M Rec Sports stuff. They'll have five.
But it's all the other random stuff that happens on a Wednesday night at 7 o'clock that you need covered, right? Like. Yeah. You guys have Quidditch over there that you guys cover?
Yep. That is huge at A&M.
I had no idea that was even a thing until one of our GAs, he does contract work a lot
with. Yeah, it's gotten bigger at Texas. I've seen them.
Yeah, I just was, I was like, no, you're not. Like, I think it was like two years ago.
And there are a lot of injuries.
Yes.
It's one of the highest injury rates.
Because I even asked, like, what did you even do? Like, what, like, you probably didn't do much of anything. He's like, no, Amanda. Like, this is what I saw this, and I saw this, and I did this. And he was like.
The people that have worked it have said. I don't know if I ever want to work that again. It's equivalent to rugby.
Right.
It is
That's what I've heard. It's so intense. And I honestly didn't know it was a thing. And he was like, yeah, you got to come out one time. And I'm like, okay.
It's interesting to watch.
I've never seen you gone out and watched it.
Yeah.
Have you worked it yourself?
I did not work it. I haven't gotten the oomph to actually go do that.
The desire to go out there and see it.
Someone else could do that.
Yeah. Maybe I'll try. I might try next year maybe and head out there. Because, our GAs cover rec sports and that's. It's kind of great for them. Like,
absolutely.
That's how they do their contract
great
work.
Exposure.
It's fantastic, I think, for most of the people who do it for us are TAs.
Yep.
So they're the ones who are trying to come and help us with athletics. Like, hey, can I volunteer? I'm like, absolutely, you can come out and volunteer. Please, please come hang out with me. But I know they get to do things like Quidditch and all of those other rec sports. And they told me about it. And I was like, what in the world?
Yeah.
So maybe I'll venture out there next year and kind of see what it's about.
It's worth a view.
Worth a view. Yeah. But so how is everything else going? Life's good?
Life's great.
You
married.
Like living out there? And
Yeah. Life is excellent. Got a house.
Look at you so grown up now.
I know, right?
Wow, I don't even have one of those.
Yeah.
I don't even have one of those.
Yeah. You live in a little more expensive area of Texas, though. So.
Yeah. Not as expensive as Austin, though, thankfully. Because I'm down in San Marcos. I won't go in Austin.
Yeah. This past spring, I started looking in Austin for any jobs because all my family's in Austin.
And right.
I was like, just out of curiosity, maybe there's a high school job that I could take, but I get paid way more than I deserve. And my boss is the best boss I could ask for. So
it's kind of nice to have that, though, right?
Exactly. Like, and that was the hard part. And even thinking about looking was, one, it would be a huge pay decrease. Two, the hours. My boss has told me she doesn't want me working over 40 hours ever. So...
Fantastic boss.
Yeah, so I'll work 45 hours 1 week and then, you know, the next week maybe take a couple hours off, that kind of thing. And I can work from home if I need to do administrative stuff and don't want to have to drive into the office, which is five miles away because it's Bryan. But.
I think that's one of the biggest perks about where I'm at now is, I mean, we're literally family. Like, all of us as athletic trainers and as our staff, and we're there for each other all the time. Like, it's fantastic.
You've
got to
have a support group. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you find that your PRN athletic trainers have that network or that support? Like, if they're not seeing you all the time or?
You know, that's something I'm trying to establish. I've only gotten up to the 9 athletic trainers this year. I think this past year I had 6 or 7. And even a couple of those live in Houston. So they'll just commute on the weekend to do the A&M Rec Sport tournaments things.
Okay.
So that's one of the negatives to this is I don't get to collaborate with them and hang out with them and you know do what other trainers do.
Do you foresee maybe setting up a time or whatever where, but it would be, it would be hard. See, you see, I see that face.
I tried to set up a Dragonfly Max app tutorial for all my athletic trainers to teach them, you know, this is how to use it. This is what you need to know about it. And man, just coordinating that, I got to split it into two meetings to make everyone's schedule work. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. It's,
so it's not as feasible.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
It's a little constraining.
Yeah. Do you try and get together maybe and kind of foster?
So we're having a get together at one of my athletic trainers, used to be a coach for Rudder High School, and he's retired now, but he still maintained his athletic training license just to cover stuff. And
just to, okay.
Yeah, so this is like his dream job, which is awesome for me.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that works great for you.
Super intelligent guy, please. Super great at his job. It's just, I can throw him anywhere and not have to worry about a thing. So he wants to host. He's been working all summer on his outdoor kitchen, and so he wants to host
a
barbecue,
like with a good
in August.
Pit and whatnot, everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, huge.
Straight off HGTV,
exactly.
I
yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And hopefully that'll then continue. And
hopefully.
Yeah. Maybe that'll keep. Is there, because you have a lot of turnover? Did I already ask you that?
Yeah,
from your...
you mentioned that. So I do for the most part. I've managed to keep maybe three or four since I started. So that I'm going into my third year now.
Okay.
I think three or four have been there the entire time. But wow. I've lost, man, five or six. Usually every year I lose at least one or two.
And are you losing them to full-time jobs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The ones I'm losing are either I've lost a couple to residency. They're going into athletic training residency positions at Memorial Hermann.
Oh, yeah.
They're just getting a full-time job somewhere else. The clinic's not for everyone. Some people find it and they're like, I learned a lot and this is great. These people are great, but I want to be out in the field. And that's... another one of my, I won't say regret, but one of the hardest things about my job, I miss the rehab. I don't do any rehab hardly. If someone's hurt and they don't have the money to go to PT,
right,
or parents can't drive them twice a week or even once a week, then I'll make an extra trip out there and do a session with them a couple times a week.
Right.
But yeah, other than that, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, you tore your ACL. Good luck.
How?
You know, and so that's...
I feel like I'd miss that part.
I do.
For me, it's one of the you know, most fun parts of the job. After that whole, like, you've completed this long rehab and you don't need me anymore and it's your first day back.
Exactly,
and
like proud
back.
Mama thing, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow, okay. Yeah. Are you going to try and, but you're happy where you're at, are you going to try and maybe get out there more? But I don't even know you can do that unless you're more at the high school, huh?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Pretty content with what I got.
Shoot, I would be too. It sounds fantastic.
It
sounds like a really great
yes.
setup. Well, I think our time is pretty much up here. If we want to wrap up again by saying, you know, this is Danny Behringer, and if you have any contact information you'd like to share, like maybe some people are in your position, or better yet, maybe somebody needs a job, PRN,
please.
You want to give us some contact information of how we can get a hold of you?
Sure. So my email address is dbehringer, B-A-R-R-I-N-G-E-R, at N as in Nancy, S-H-I-N-C.com. Phone number 920-903-2306, and that's my cell. And then my office is 979-731-3913.
Hey, fantastic. Fantastic. It's awesome catching up with you. I mean,
yeah,
we kept
too.
Running into each other, but we didn't even get a chance to, like, hey, how's it been? What are you up to? And
well,
it's because we were supposed to be here today.
Exactly.
That's why. Like, we would have had this conversation yesterday, and we would have been here like, I don't know what to talk about.
Totally.
So it's great to see you.
You too.
And enjoy the rest of your time here.
Thanks so much.